Oh, that's a good, yeah, that's a good prequel. I like that one.
I'll give you Better Call Saul. The problem with that one, though, is that they released the seasons a year late in Canada for whatever reason. So,
and there's already like 3-year delays between the seasons as it is. So,
yeah, I'm really confused about the timeline in general on Better Call Saul, but I guess that's another story.
We can pivot this podcast to a Better Call Saul podcast like instantly, and people aren't even going to notice the difference. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of E-Commerce Unscripted, the podcast where we help you achieve WooCommerce mastery. My name is Sam Greenspan. I am a marketer here at GoDaddy, and today I am joined by two fantastic panelists. First, coming to us from scenic Louisiana, Erica Ross.
Hi, I'm Erica Ross. I'm a customer support specialist at GoDaddy, and I really love negative reviews.
All right. That is super relevant to the topic, and we're going to get into all those negative reviews that you both read and leave coming soon. And our other panelist, coming from scenic, mysterious suburbs of Ontario, Canada, Ian Misner. Ian, will you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, I'll start with a correction there. It's Ian Misner, actually.
Is it really? You know what's funny? We've worked together for what now? Almost 3 years, and I've never heard your last name said out loud.
I guess I just don't say my own name all that often.
Yeah,
I guess,
you really right? don't. I mean, we've literally traveled around the world together, and your last name has never come up.
I'll try to work it into more conversations in the future.
You should probably go for like a more James Bond type of approach to introducing yourself, because that would be really handy for, you know, the day that someone has to introduce you on a podcast that they never saw coming.
Absolutely. My name's Ian Misner. I, like Sam said, out of Ontario, Canada. I manage the WooCommerce care team here at GoDaddy.
And today, Ian, Erica, and myself will be talking about product reviews, as Erica hinted. So we'll talk about why product reviews are so important to WooCommerce stores and how you can implement them at your store or your client stores. We can give you some tips and some strategies to get more reviews for WooCommerce sites, and we're going to cover different ways you can incorporate reviews into WooCommerce. But first, we're going to start off with some questions and some statistics. So I'm going to kick this one over to the panel first. How do you feel if you're looking at a product on an e-commerce site and there are no reviews?
So I would be a bit skeptical anytime I come on this, especially if it's a smaller company, like, you know, you get those Facebook ads and you click through and you're like, what is this company? There are absolutely no reviews. I would be like, well, can I really trust this product? I want to know if it works. I want to know about someone's bad experience or someone's really great experience. So it's something that I definitely look for when I'm buying a product. And if I don't see a review, I might not purchase it.
Ian, what about you? If there's no reviews, is that going to keep you from buying something?
Yeah, I mean, I would need something else to convince me to trust that store, basically, like a referral from a friend or a family member, or, you know, a really well-known brand name might get me past that, but you need something else other than the reviews to make up for what you're losing.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's got to be some level of social proof to some degree, or it's a scaring us away. And we are all very typical. We're not atypical. We are, in fact, typical, because 92% of people, according to a study, say they will hesitate to buy a product from a store if it has no reviews. Even one review can lead to an 18% increase in sales, and just 5 reviews can increase sales likelihood by 270%. So that's how valuable simple reviews are. Now, let's flip it to the other side. You're looking at a site, you're thinking about a product, there's nothing but 5-star reviews. Do you trust that, or does that make you suspicious as well?
Yeah, no, right away, very suspicious. You know, it's really easy for any store to remove a review they don't like very much. So I would assume that, you know, with any experience with any product or service, there is a good and a bad experience regardless. And, you know, even some of the bad reviews that are irrelevant or don't mean anything, I still find it reassuring to see those, right? Like, you know, someone says they don't like a product, but really it was because the shipping took a day longer than they expected or something like that. I want to see things like that, right? And anytime I'm on the fence about purchasing something, like, you know, I skim the top reviews and then the 1- and 2-star reviews to get a sense of like both ends of the spectrum, you know, how people feel about that product.
Erica, what about you? How do you feel when you see nothing but 5-star reviews?
It's definitely shady. You know, there's always at least one angry person on the internet. So I would expect to see at least a one-star review for every maybe like five or so. And I know just from personal experience, I worked at a company where our boss opened a restaurant and she had us all go and put five-star Yelp reviews for the restaurant, and it wasn't that great of a restaurant. So it definitely happened. So I am very suspicious of five-star reviews, only five-star reviews.
I know that I tend to, I really like to go to a site and just look directly for the one-star reviews, because I find those 100%. Are really informative. Like, there's different types of one-star reviews. There's the one-star, like, this product broke the second I touched it, or there's this product didn't come to me in time and I'm blaming the company, or there's always my favorite is the speculative one-star review. Like, you'll see that for, like, products that haven't launched yet. Like, I know I'm going to dislike this new prequel to The Hunger Games. It's just not going to be a good book, so one-star. Very suspect.
Yes, definitely. I start with the one-star reviews and work my way up, basically, because I want to know about the bad experiences first and then get to the good experiences. I feel like I can weigh it a little better when I start from the bottom and go to the top.
And did you enjoy the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes? I think that's the name of it.
I did.
Okay,
personally.
Wow. All right. I had no idea if you'd ever even read it. This
I
is
did.
All just not, okay. Ian, your thoughts on the Hunger Games trilogy and the new prequels?
I mean, the prequels definitely fell under my radar. Not on board there at this point, but yeah, they're fine. They're fine otherwise.
Have you watched the Fantastic Beasts movies? How do you feel about this prequel thing in general?
I guess I'm bad at prequels.
I'm getting that vibe. Better Call Saul. I'm trying to think of what were we talking about? Right. Five-star reviews, obviously. All right. Let's find some stats on this. 68% of people say they trust reviews more when they see both good and bad ratings. In fact, the ideal star rating for sales is between 4.0 to 4.7, not a 5.0 average, because people do want to see the credibility that comes with bad reviews. All right, next question. How do you feel when you see a store responding to its reviews?
I love this. I think it tells you a lot about the store. Sometimes you'll have a manager come back and insult people and criticize them. I've seen this with a local restaurant that does this, and I never go to that restaurant for that reason. The food may be delicious, but I don't like the way that the manager's running things. But when you see a store respond to someone when they've messed up, when they've given a 1 or 2 star review and they're trying to make up for that, I like that, because I can trust that if I do buy this product and I have a bad experience, I know that they're going to try to correct it.
Yeah, I would actually say that the responses to the reviews matter more to me than the reviews itself. Like, even if a store is taking the effort to take the time to respond to reviews at all, if it's the same like canned response every single time, it's still disappointing, right? Like, if you take the time to think about what the customer said about your product or whatever, and you respond more personally in those cases, then that's awesome. As far as the negative reviews, that is a huge opportunity for a store owner, right? Like, you can take something that's like a 1-star review about how awful you are and actually, you know, portray a more positive experience than what nothing at all would otherwise. You know, that feedback that they get from you, for me as a consumer, it's more reassuring than anything else, frankly.
No, that's a good point. People do, in fact, like when stores respond to reviews. A study by TripAdvisor, which is a big website for people leaving angry reviews and then hotels responding in kind, trying to, you know, quell their concerns, found that 1/3 of hotels increased their rating by a 0.5-star or more within 6 months of starting to respond to reviews. And another study found that the sooner that a store responds to bad reviews, the more likely that store is to retain the person who left the review as a customer. It can often probably be something you want to sleep on a little bit, especially if you find yourself, like Erica's local restaurant, wanting to just bash people for their reviews. Ian, your thoughts?
So I actually was getting distracted just now. I've been reading the reviews for Better Call Saul Season 1.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just to be clear.
I'm glad we're keeping you engaged.
they're not all five star, 97%. It's not perfect. So yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
Thus adding more credibility to the Better Call Saul and its quality.
Yeah, all I think a lot more highly of the whole franchise now. So thanks for giving me that opportunity. I appreciate it.
Now our final question. What motivates you to leave a product review?
So I've probably only ever in my life left one or two, so I'm not going to have the best answer for this. Okay. Now, I will say what has done in the rare occasions where I have done that, it's very much like the personal plea email as a follow-up to a purchase. You know, like give a couple of days and then ask me, like letting me know how much you care about that feedback. That's the only thing that's ever worked. So, you know. Mm.
How personal? Like, is if it's an automated email where they've just sort of mail merged in your name and the product you bought, is that good enough personal, or does it have to be like a real like text-based note from someone at the company?
Well, these definitely were automated emails, but I mean, they definitely made that effort. It did help for me to know, though, like in these occasions, it was both, like they were smaller stores, right? So I kind of had a sense that, you know, this plea could be legitimate as well, right? Because as you've noted, you have very few reviews. I know they matter. It's nice to be able to actually help.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, is that and probably something that a smaller store could take away from this is like if we leave a review on a giant site, like on an Amazon or Best Buy or something like that, like it's a drop in the bucket review. They get thousands of reviews probably every second. Whereas for a small store, like that one review can make a huge difference for them. So if a small store plays into that and sort of reminds people of that in their review request emails, it might be kind of a good technique for them. Erica, what about you? Do you leave reviews? And if so, what motivates you to do so?
So I also, just like Ian, I rarely leave reviews. I tend to rely on everyone else to do it for me. But the few times that I have left reviews, I've left one on Amazon for a product that I really liked. It was a skincare product. And made a huge difference. So I left a review for that. But otherwise, it's someone has to personally ask me. So for instance, the woman that does my hair personally asked me to leave a review via email. Granted, it was automated, but like I know her. So I did it for her. There was another instance where I was asked via email that I remember doing it because again, it was another small business. Also, if there is an incentive, I will leave a review because I don't pass up a discount. I love a good discount, especially if it's like above 10%. I'm going to probably leave the review just to get my discount code, even if I don't use it. So I just love to know that I can save money somewhere if I need to.
So that's interesting. So you're incentivized by the discount and also sort of helping the business, and Ian, you're incentivized by helping the business. It sounds like neither of you has ever left a negative review. Is that correct?
I can't imagine actually caring enough to want to do that, I guess, right? Like that, that might be a me thing. There's a YouTube series I really like by Gus Johnson, though, where he does dig into like the big platform negative reviews and just really rags on some of those. And I find it very comical. I really enjoy seeing how angry people are willing to submit that sort of thing. I don't know. It's just not for me. Not like same as prequels, basically.
Yeah, I will go on the website and contact customer service first before I would leave a negative review. Mm. I was very close about a month ago to leaving a negative review for a toothbrush that I had bought for my son because the customer service was terrible, but they ended up making up for it and sending us a new toothbrush. So I didn't leave a negative review because they fixed it. But yeah, I will try to reach out before I leave a negative review. But that's probably just a personal thing.
So I think that's another really good takeaway for stores in that in your review requests, really push that customer service information and make it easy for someone. If they're going to click one star, instead, maybe they can just click to chat with you. And maybe you can avoid, you know, because a bad review, like a really scathing bad review, especially if you have a low volume of reviews, could be pretty rough. I'm struggling to think if I've ever left a bad review. I know my wife has for a while. She was secretly Yelping at one point. And I found her secret Yelp account because she was like we were on the couch together and I saw her doing something on her phone And do you ever do this when you're on the couch with like your significant other and they kind of peek at what you're doing and you turn yourself like you're hiding what you're doing? And I'm like instantly suspicious. Now I'm like really suspicious, right? That's so much more suspicious than just like kind of letting me see you're on Yelp. Like, I don't care. But and I found out she was secretly leaving her honest reviews. And sometimes those were bad, like this ice cream place we went to that wouldn't give her a free sample. Like before, long before COVID, like, and she was like outraged that this ice cream place wouldn't give her a taste of something, and that was enough to leave just a scathing review.
Was she doing this under her name?
Sort of, or like a not very good pseudonym, like the kind of like so her name. So my wife's name is Angie, and her middle initial is M, and she was leaving these under Angela M, like as if M was her last initial. So it's like, ooh, who could this be? But, yes. And that Yelp account is probably still out there somewhere. I could ask her for the link, but I'm pretty sure she wants to just leave that in her past. You know, it's like we've moved
she
on.
She give up cold turkey.
Or maybe she's still doing it for all I know. There's still plenty of secret Yelp reviews going on. So we've got a few stats here about what motivates people to leave reviews. 33% of people who leave reviews say they'll do so if the experience was really good or really bad. 25% will only do it when it's really good, and 5% will only do it when it's really bad. The top reasons that people leave a bad review are to warn other people, to help other people make better buying decisions, or to help the company improve its products. And I don't know how like angrily vent didn't make that list, because I would guess that was number one. But yeah. And the top reasons people leave good reviews are to share an experience, to reward a company for a good product or providing good service, or to help others make buying decisions. All right. And we'll be back right after this to discuss some strategies for incorporating product reviews into your WooCommerce site.
A free domain and SSL certificate, super fast setup, daily backups, tons of free website themes, and thousands of dollars of included plugins, all for under $20 a month? It's true. Check out GoDaddy's managed hosting plans at GoDaddy.com.
And we are back with our episode on product reviews. My name is Sam. I am joined by Erica and Ian. And we're going to discuss now strategies for incorporating product reviews and more advanced product review techniques for WooCommerce sites. We're going to start with some basic ones, then move on to more intermediate and advanced ones. So the first thing we're going to start with is the most basic, which is product reviews are built into the WooCommerce core. You can enable them by going to your WooCommerce settings, go to products, and then reviews. You can enable reviews. And there's some pretty good features that are built into these WooCommerce reviews. You can have verified owner badges on reviews, and you can restrict them only to verified buyers. You can enable star ratings, and you can moderate them like comments, because they actually are WordPress comments. Ian, any thoughts on the WooCommerce core product reviews?
Yeah, I mean, as a default experience, it does offer pretty much everything you need at the front end. It's, like you noted, it's very similar to the default commenting experience with just a star rating associated. So it's not anything that your users would be confused by or that'll be difficult to manage on the site itself. I don't have a whole lot more to comment on, though, because it doesn't offer much more than that.
Right. People need something. As we've covered earlier, you need to have reviews on your site. Like, it, not having reviews is a definite detriment to sales. So if you got to get something going today, this is worth enabling. Erica, you have any thoughts on this?
You know, it's built in, so why not use it? And clearly, as we've illustrated, reviews are extremely helpful. It's a great way to build the company's reputation and maybe entice customers that might be on the fence about purchasing a product. And of course, a good opportunity to kind of like be on the lookout for those positive reviews and also the negative reviews, so you can respond accordingly and hopefully not give a canned response and do something to turn the experience around for the customer.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that because it is basically just a WordPress comment as the review, there is a notify me of replies option, so that if you are going to reply to your customers' reviews, they will receive like an email notification or something that you've proactively tried to help them. So again, like, it does offer everything you need to kind of do most of what we've talked about.
Right. And that's very smoothly transitioning into our next segment, which is we're going to talk about the next level solution, the intermediate solution, and that's to use a special reviews extension to get more robust reviews for your site. And the one we're going to talk about today is Product Reviews Pro, to have reviews on your site that look and act like the reviews you find on the biggest retail websites in the world. Erica, would you like to share some of the things you can do with Product Reviews Pro, things that you can't do with just the basic WooCommerce reviews?
So I think one of the biggest things that just being a customer elsewhere is important to me is pictures. So when I'm buying something, especially if it's clothing or home decor, I want to see it in a real environment or, you know, clothing on a real person to get a better idea of the product. So I always look for pictures. And with Product Reviews Pro, not only can you add pictures, but there is a sorting, extra sorting features where you can find the reviews that have pictures. Also, you can sort the reviews by helpful, being negative helpful or positive helpful, so that you can find the ones that are going to be most applicable to your situation.
Yeah, Ian, what are your thoughts on Product Reviews Pro and even some of the other things that it can do as well?
Yeah, so like the review qualifiers option in Product Review Pro allows you to ask specific questions of your customers. So depending on the type of store, you can get feedback on specific type of items. Like, I mean, in our documentation, we use examples of like shoe sizes or clothes sizes or something like that. Like, does it fit true to size as an actual option that we present? And then it allows, you know, the review to not just be whether it's a good or bad experience, but more, you know, meaningful data, meaningful information about the product itself to help others make that product decision.
Yeah, I find both those things very helpful. The pictures, especially like Erica talked about, I'm a big fan of looking at the user provided pictures in reviews, because there's a real difference when someone's taking a picture of something in their home with their phone versus like a professional product photograph that gives right. you a much better look and also gives you more of like a look at the scale of something or maybe, you know, some of the features that you might have questions about. And also, I really do like the ability to add those prompting questions like Ian talked about. And I think that you can find a use case for that and, you know, across the board and with any types of products, although we do see it a lot with the fashion and apparel stores, because that's where fit makes such a big difference and can be such valuable information. And this is also really important to, as you said, when you have a large volume of reviews, being able to sort them, which you can do with Product Reviews Pro, is quite helpful. Right. Now we're going to talk about even more advanced techniques you can do when it comes to reviews. The first thing we're going to talk about is getting more reviews. Again, we've talked about the value of having any reviews, but then just the hockey stick growth that you can have. Ian, that one's for you, the hockey stick growth that you can have at even 5 reviews. That's a Canada thing.
Yeah.
How are we going to get more reviews? Well, the first way, and we've already touched on this a little bit, is the power of using email to request reviews. Automated emails are a good way to do that. One extension you can use for that is Automate Woo. That's a WooCommerce extension that you can use to set up review requests. Ian, any strategies on what someone should say in an automated review request, what they should include in order to try to get customers to leave the review?
Yeah, I mean, I think we touched on some of that earlier, that in the cases where I, as someone who doesn't typically leave reviews, have done so, it's because, you know, when you've asked for feedback and explained how it will help you make the product or experience better for customers in the future, and, you know, how that helps you as a store. And I think to Erica's point there too about, you know, product discounts and stuff like that, Automate Woo will allow you to include coupons or something like that along with that request, if that is something that you want to do as well.
Erica, any thoughts that you have on what you can put in automated emails, how you can use them in order to garner more reviews from your customers?
Yeah, so Automate Woo is definitely a great tool. I would definitely say to use the incentive because it works for me and I like a good discount, like I said. So you can include that in there, or like Ian said, tell the person why you need the review. And then kind of going back to what we said earlier about contacting customer service, putting that contact information in there so that if the person gets a question about, hey, will you leave us a review? They're like, I hated this product. What you can do is kind of mitigate that with the way to contact customer service, and maybe they'll be more likely to reach out that way instead of leaving the negative review.
Yeah, there's actually a psychological principle that goes into what you've both discussed, which is telling people why you want the review. A study found that people will do a favor for you if you give them a reason why you're asking them to do that favor, even if the reason doesn't make any sense. They ran the experiment on people waiting in line to make copies on a copy machine at a library. No matter what reason someone asked for as they were trying to get ahead in line, whether it was, I'm in a hurry, I have to go pick up my child at school, or whether it was, hey, can I get in front of you? I'm really busy right now. Or, hey, can I get in front of you? Stuff's going on. As long as there was some reason behind it, people were more likely to perform the favor. So tell the customer why you want them to leave the review, to help other customers or to help us improve our products, whatever it may be. And another recommendation that we often give is to just personalize your review emails like you would with pretty much all of your automations. One of the best things you can do is you can personalize them. Personalized emails perform better than impersonal ones. So include the product that the person bought. And in that way, they'll say, oh, right, I bought that. They're more likely to click through and leave the review. All right, we'll be back right after this for our question and answer segment.
Get your clients online faster and for less money with managed hosting plans from GoDaddy. Visit GoDaddy.com to learn more.
All right, we are back with our question and answer segment. Our first question today, how can I create a custom login page for my store?
What you could do is just get a plugin. There are tons of plugins that would allow you to do this. You could use something like Gravity Forms or Theme My Login. Those would be some that would be pretty easy to use and kind of self-explanatory. You can kind of gear it to match your branding and make it look much nicer than, you know, just that regular WordPress login.
Yeah, I would say that the Gravity Forms with the user registration add-on is really fantastic. It also lets you gather additional information on the registration portion if you want. There is one option that's a little bit easier, though, is that WooCommerce does offer just the My Account shortcode. Was it WooCommerce_My_account? You can actually place that anywhere on any post or page that will use the settings you have for your registration or login pages and allow you to display that anywhere you want within your site. And there is this is like falling into customization territory a little bit, but there is some custom code on businessbloomer.com that lets you create that as two separate shortcodes if you want to separate registration from the actual login page to use just each as a separate page as well.
It's great. And if someone, I know we have a lot of people who use the WooCommerce social login extension where people are logging in, creating their accounts by linking one of their social logins to it. Would those solutions still work if you're incorporating social login on your site?
Yeah, like our social login extension would add it to anywhere that shortcode is present. It's also probably worth noting too, the social login integrates with Product Reviews Pro as well.
Mm, look at that. That is bringing stuff way too full circle. I don't know. That is great. All right. Our next question today. What are your thoughts on selling free plus shipping products? So those are products where you charge $0 and you only charge customers for shipping.
I personally say to build that into the product. I guess it's just some kind of psychological thing. But for me, I'm so used to getting free shipping, whether it's like spend $50 or have a membership and you get free shipping. I'm so used to getting that free shipping that I expect it. So I'd rather almost pay for the product and get the shipping for free.
So you're thinking like a $5 product with free shipping is more enticing than a $0 product with $5 shipping, basically.
Yes.
Ian, what about you?
Yeah, like I think that the free plus shipping strategy is like inherently suspicious, basically, right? Like I assume you're still making the money off the shipping fee and I feel lied to. So I just don't like it very much.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would say that if you were doing it as like a bonus offer for like an existing customer or something, like giving something free as part of an existing order, I might feel a bit differently about that. But yeah, I don't know. The free plus shipping is not a huge fan of that approach.
Yeah. And how do you feel if sometimes you'll get one of those incentives, whether it's to subscribe to a list or whatever, and it'll be get a free gift with this, but then you have to pay more shipping on that free gift? I don't like that. Like that is a turnoff to me.
Yeah. And honestly, I would say like, if you're saying you're going to charge for shipping with that initial offer on the front end, like if you're going to tell me that, I just, for some reason, when I hear this, I assume that you're not going to tell me that if that's the offer.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think that would dissuade me from wanting a product if I saw that it was free, but I had to pay for shipping. And then I also feel a little lied to on that.
Right. And honestly, just the free shipping thing in general, I'm convinced that if you were to charge me more, but tell me the shipping was free. Like if I have to pay more money overall, I'm actually still more likely to buy it than to pay anything at all for shipping. So if I thought it was free and then you're charging me for shipping, I don't know, I'm not going to get through that process ever.
Yeah. Right. That seems like a good cart abandonment cause right there. That's actually going to do it for our product reviews episode. Unless, Erica, do you have any final word or takeaway you want to give people about product reviews?
They are definitely useful, great way to build trust in your products, and you should take advantage of at least the free built-in integration.
And Ian, any thoughts you have, final takeaway for people about their product reviews?
Yeah, I think that, like, broadly speaking, any customer who's willing to spend the time to leave a review for you, whether you've asked them to or not, is an opportunity to, you know, really like nurture that customer relationship and to do what you can to help make sure they're a repeat buyer. And, you know, putting all these strategies in place to allow you to get more and more opportunities from customers like that, that'll help any store grow. But use that feedback, care about what the customer has to say, really think about what you can do based on those things they give you.
If you'd like to submit questions to our future Q&A sessions or check out all of the extensions and as well as some of the links that we've talked about today, you can see all of them in the show notes for this episode. Also, if you're looking for hosting, we recommend GoDaddy's managed WordPress e-commerce hosting, where you can get many of the extensions we've discussed today, nearly $6,000 worth of included extensions, plus a whole lot of other free things like a free domain, free SSL, and it costs less than $20 a month. So it's a really good deal. If you're looking for hosting, check it out. All right, Ian, Erica, any final words?
I'm not going to leave a review, but I'll definitely read it.
Sounds good to me. I think that's what most people say. And so thanks again, everyone. And we look forward to talking with you again soon.